Today I want to share with you about one of my greatest passions. I want to share with you about family. Families, and I want to say this, your family matters to God. Your family matters to God. How many of you agree with that? Your family matters to God. I was watching and just browsing through YouTube one day, and this was back in September 11, and I came across this video of phone calls that people who are in the towers or in the planes were making over to their families, and all of them didn't say, none of them said, hey, do this, this, and this. Families are essential of a healthy society. How many of you agree with that statement? Families are essential to the shaping of a healthy society. Like I said, there's two things that I'm just crazy passionate about. Number one, I'm passionate about the presence of God. My relationship with the Spirit of God is by far the most important. It's my ultimate goal in this life, to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the second one is family, my wife and my three sons. They're just so important to me. My goal is to raise up a new generation of leaders. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because today I have a clear mission from the Holy Spirit. I want to trigger in you, I want to stir in you two feelings today, okay? The number one feeling is anger. I want you to be angry and seriously angry. And number two, I want you to feel hope. Hope for the way that things can be and will be. Let me explain. When we feel anger for something and we feel hope at the same time, we will become a catalyst for change. Nothing happens unless you're angry for the way things are and hopeful that things can be better. That's how businesses start. You start because you're angry at the way something is and you believe in your heart that you can make it better, right? So my hope is that we can become, all of us here at TFC and watching online, we can become a catalyst for transformation. Transformation that I believe God wants to happen in our families, in our cities, and in our nation. So, I'm going to make a bold statement. This is a very bold statement. So if you don't like me after this, it's okay. Our society does not necessarily need a better government, a better education system, a better judicial system, or better churches. What our society really needs are healthier families. Our society does not necessarily need a better government, or a better educational system, a better judicial system, or better churches. What our society really needs are healthier families. This will not be surprised to some of you, but in the last 70 years, family as we knew it, mom, dad, living all in the same house, has changed radically. And I'm going to prove it to you. And I want to give a big shout out to my friend, Pastor Alex. He shared with me some of his research. He loves the research. And so all with the intention to make you angry. Are you ready? In 1960, 73% of children lived in households with married parents and in their first marriage. Today, that percentage has dropped to 46%. During this same time period, the rate of single mothers increased from 9% to 26%. In fact, the United States has the highest rate of single mothers in the world. Single mother households have increased dramatically from 1.9 million in 1960 to 8.6 million in 2011 and still growing. There are also 9 times more single father households now than in 1960. Here's the overview of the percentage of two-parent households by race in the United States. Asians, 71%, two-parent households. Whites, 52%. Hispanics, 43%. Blacks, 22%. I don't know about you, but these numbers break my heart. And I'm going to tell you why. Because according to Pew Research, children living with both biological parents are 20 to 30% more physically healthy than children from broken homes. Studies have shown that intact families increase their children's high school and college graduation rates, as well as their employment opportunities, their verbal reasoning ability, and even their early cognitive ability. Studies have shown that intact families reduce the probability that their children will live in poverty by 82%. Let me say it again. Our society does not necessarily need a better government, a better educational system, a better judicial system, or better churches. What our society really needs are healthier families. Are you angry yet? I'm angry. Here's, in my opinion, the saddest thing of all these collected data. In the words of John Wesley, what one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. In other words, the evil that we don't deal with today eventually gets normalized. The evil that we don't deal with today eventually gets normalized. And today, the attitude of this generation towards anything family is not very optimistic. And this really concerns me as a father of 3 sons. Listen to this. I'm going to get you mad here. Only 27% of people between the ages of 15 and 44 in the United States agree with the following statement. A young couple should not live together unless they're married. Only 27% agree with this statement. 59% of people between the ages of 15 and 44 in the United States agree with this statement. It's okay for a single 18-year-old to have sex if they have great affections for one another. They don't have to be married. 59%. 64% of the same group agreed that living together before marriage can help prevent divorce, which is not true. 55% between 15 and 44-year-olds agree with this statement. Listen. 55%. Sex between 2 adults of the same sex is okay. 34% of this group said that marriage has not worked for most of the people they know. This is heartbreaking. Again, our society does not necessarily need a better government, a better educational system, a better judicial system, or better churches. What our society really needs are healthier families. So I ask all of us here, why attack the symptoms when we can address the root of the problem? America has a family crisis. And it's been like that for a very long time. Since the 60s. You saw. Please hear me out. When I conclude that by working for a healthier family, I can make a difference in my children's education level, in their job opportunities, in their ability to reason with others with words and not with violence, in their ability to make better decisions at an early age, when I conclude that the root cause of the evils that we face as a society can be traced back to the breakdown of the family, I conclude that something must change. Tell the person next to you, something must change. Tell the other person, you won't like me when I'm angry. You won't like me when I'm angry, right? Are you angry yet?
Yes.
I'm heartbroken. I am heartbroken because we're wasting time chasing symptoms without addressing the problem. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. You ready for some good news? Let's add hope to the equation, shall we? Here's hope. God cares about family. God cares about family. Do you believe it? From the beginning, God said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Because God cares about family. God wants my marriage to prosper. God wants your marriage to prosper. It is in His heart. It is in His heart. It is in His heart. God told Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. Why? Because God cares about family. Listen, God always wants to save the family. Come on, just say it with me. God is fighting to save my family. God is fighting to save my family. This is also why God blessed Noah and his sons when they came out of the ark. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 9, it says, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God used Noah and his family to restore the order in the world. Why? Because God cares about family. And today, I believe with all of my heart that God wants to use your family and my family to restore the right order in our community, in our cities, and in our nation. God wants to use us, our families, to restore the right order in our society. God will use my family to bring righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God will use your family to bring forth righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, my parents have been married for 33 years. But their marriage almost didn't make it. God truly saved my family. My parents were both Christians. When they got married, they met each other. They were both first in their families to come to the Lord. But when I was about 6 years old, my dad drifted away. He started making a lot of money. He became a workaholic and an alcoholic. But my mom and my sister and I, we stayed going to church. We never stopped going to church. We would go to church all the time, even without my dad. and I was probably seven. We went to this conference, big conference, out of state. This was back in Mexico. And I was playing out in the playground with some of my friends when, as the meeting was going, one of the sessions was going, they were ministering prophetically to people inside. And I was in the playground. We were playing with my friends. And all of a sudden, somebody taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, kid, they're looking for you inside." So I thought, okay, well, maybe my mom sent this completely stranger to come and get me, which is kind of weird. But I went, and it wasn't my mom. It was one of the prophets that was ministering. He had described me and what I was wearing, and he said, "Go get that kid in the playground because I have a word of the Lord for him." So they bring me in, and the word was that God had heard my prayers, and that God was calling me to preach the word of God and to prophesy over many people. And that because of that, because of my prayers, he was also going to restore my dad back to him, and he was going to call him to preach as well. Now, why did God do that? Because God cares about families. Because God cares about families. God always wants to save the family. And to this day, God has been true to his word. And God has used my parents today to restore many families among themselves and to the Lord. I can tell you countless of examples of people who were just at the brink of breakdown. And God showed up faithful through my parents' ministry. God always wants to save the family. God always wants to restore the family. Because God cares about family. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 4, "This one, your servant, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Why? Because God cares about family. Listen, God longs to give many sons and daughters to his children. I'm not going to say amen because I already have plenty. I don't want to risk it, okay, Lord? If God gives me more money and more patience, but we're tapped out. We tapped out. But I am so thankful. Listen, I love when the righteous have children. I love it. I love when I hear that a righteous couple is pregnant. I just love it. You know why? Because the righteous will inherit righteousness. And the more righteousness we have in this world, the better. The better. So shout out, right? We're having babies in our church. Shout out to the Millers. Shout out to the Weems, right? Shout out to the Heads. Shout out to everybody, right, that is having kids. Congratulations. You're inheriting righteousness. Plus, we need more conservatives in the world. So, get going, okay? God loves to bless righteous people with kids. And also Abraham, when the day came to choose a wife for Isaac, his son, in Genesis chapter 24, verse 3 through 4, says, he said to his servant, "Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife from my son, from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son, Isaac." Why? Because God cares about families. And God does not, listen to me, single people, young people, I wish the youth were here, because I'm just telling you, God does not want his children to marry someone outside his family, period. Because God cares about family. And I'm sure that everyone who is or has ever been married can back me up on this. The greatest decision you have before you at this time, if you're single, is who you will marry. It is a make or break decision. I remember when Danielle and I started dating, or we were moving from friendship to dating, and I told Pastor Kerry, I'm going to bring Danielle to your office, and I want you to read her mind. And I want you to tell me if we belong together. And I remember at the time she was going to another church. And I remember at the time I made up my mind. I said, you know, if I show up with Pastor Kerry, and Pastor Kerry says, because I love him and I trust him, if he says she's not for you, even if I really, really, really want to, and even if I really, really believe that this is right, if he says no, I'm going to walk away. I made up my mind. I said, I'm not going to. Because I had seen so many people mess their life up in that decision. Even in my own family with my aunts and my uncles. So I'm just telling you, God will honor you, single person, if you commit to put him first and to seek godly counsel at that very moment. Esau, Isaac's firstborn, in Genesis chapter 27, verse 34, it says that he cried. Listen, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me. Oh, me also, oh Father. I wanna talk to dads and granddads here in this room and those watching us online. God gave us as men the power and the grace to uproot identity confusion and to affirm identity in the hearts of our children. Why do you think the Father's blessing is such a huge deal in the Scripture? So if you're a granddad, if you're a dad, God wants to use you to uproot identity confusion from the hearts of your children. Why do you think we have so many issues right now with sexual identity? Because we started by belittling men. I'm just telling you. God wants to use us. Pastor Alex and I are great friends, in case you don't know. And he asked me, he's a father-to-be. And so he asked me, he's like, what is one thing that you think no one else can do for you? For your children. And I said, easy. No one but me can tell my kids who they are. Who they are. Especially teenagers. They need their dad, their granddad, to uproot confusion and to speak Christ's identity over them. Joseph the dreamer, instead of paying his brothers for what they have done to him, he had mercy and he forgave his brothers. And he told them in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Because God cares about family. And just like Joseph and his brothers, listen to this. Forgiveness is an essential part of any successful family. It is. And just like with Joseph, listen to this. I declare today that your lowest family moments will be used by God to help many other people. Your lowest family moments will be used by God to bless, to equip, and to give hope to many people. In fact, why don't you say with me, God will use my family as a testimony of His goodness. And He will. And He will. And we can continue on and on after example of how God cares about family. This is just Genesis. We haven't even touched Exodus, Leviticus. There you go. And so on and so forth, right? This is probably my personal conviction, maybe because of my family, my family's background, and even just my current stage of life. But I believe that the winning strategy of the church in the last days will be to reunify families with the presence of God. The winning strategy of the church in the last days will be to reunify families with the presence of God. And I refuse to give the enemy any more ground when it comes to family. I believe that in my lifetime, I will see many, many, many families reunify with the presence of God. And when that happens, listen, when that happens, at that very moment, revival will no longer be a prayer or a longing of our heart. Revival will be a manifested reality. When the families are reunited with the presence of God. Because the world can spin in the opposite direction, but if the church can get so bold to say, in the words of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, choose yourselves this day who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if we can get that bold, we will see revival as a reality in our lifetime. And culture is no match against Jesus. I know that I will see, Lord, I will see many families reunify with your presence in my lifetime. I will see it, Lord. I will see it. I will see it. In Genesis chapter 12, God gives Abraham a promise that I believe we should appropriate to ourselves. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, when we look at statistics like the ones that I just shared with you, and this is very important, so please pay close attention to what I'm going to say. When we see statistics like the ones I just shared with you, we run the risk of opening the door to condemnation. Why? Because chances are that we grew up in a broken home. Chances are that we are now a part of the statistics on broken homes. And I must tell you that that's what the enemy of our souls wants you to do. He wants you to fall into condemnation. Because if he can get you to focus on emotionally beating yourself up for what happened, then you won't have the ability to look forward and to make a difference. So do not fall in that temptation. Be encouraged. Listen, do not worry and pray more. Okay? Be like Ruth. Oh, I love Ruth. Who lied down at the feet of Boaz, her redeemer. Boaz redeemed Ruth by marrying her after the death of her husband. And to get to that point, the story tells us that Ruth uncovered Boaz's feet and lied down at his feet. Long story short, Boaz married Ruth, and they had a son, Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of King David, of which Jesus' lineage comes from. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying to some of you, lie down at my feet, and I will redeem your generations. God can use the brokenness in your home, like he did with Ruth, to raise up kings, priests, and prophets of the nation. Only lie down at the feet of your Redeemer. Be mindful of what happened, and hopefully your children will learn from your story, but surrender your today to your Redeemer. You can't change the past. You can't turn back time. But what you can do is lie down at the feet of your Redeemer. I want us to pray today. I want us to pray as a church today. And what I want to do is I have a list. I have three lists of 5 points that we are going to pray for together. But here's what we're going to do it so we can be efficient with our time. We're going to pray by sections. So I'm going to pull up a list in just a minute, not yet. And we're going to split 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you're going to pray for that specific thing on that list. And as you do that, I'm going to pray over the whole thing with our friends online. Okay? Afterwards, as you feel like some of these points spoke to you, I want you to get ready. When you feel that push from the Holy Spirit, I want you to be bold and obedient and come to the front, and I'm going to sing a blessing over you. Okay? So if you can please stand up, and I want to pull up my first list. There it is. This section right here, at my right hand, will pray for men to be restored to their calling as leaders of their families. No more neglecting their kids spiritually, emotionally, and financially. You got it? Say yay? All right, got it. 2, right here, this lovely section. We're going to pray against the attack that exists in our society against men. It is not necessary to belittle a man to raise up a woman. It is not necessary to belittle a man in order to elevate women. It's not necessary. We're going to pray against that. Middle section, present. We're going to pray against the we're going to pray for children who are growing up without a father in the home. There's many of them. There's many of them. You guys got it? All right. This section right here. We're going to pray. We're going to declare that there is no more room in the body of Christ for divorce and infidelity in the marriage. Got it? All right. This section. Are you alive? All right, good. Good. We're going to pray for the homes of single mothers. You know, single mothers need provision. They need a sense of security. They need a sense of self-worth. We need to pray for them. They're swimming upstream. We must pray. All right. You guys ready for the first of everything? All right, let's pray. Father, come on, just lift your voice. Remember, we are angry and we are hopeful. So, Father, today we pray for the restoration of men to their calling to be leaders in their family, Lord. We pray that they will no longer neglect their family spiritually, emotionally, financially, that they will be responsible for their wives and their kids, Lord. I pray that there is no more absentee dads within the homes, Lord. The dads will be the ones who take the lead when it comes to church, when it comes to worship, when it comes to reading the Bible, when it comes to serving God, Lord. I pray against the attack of the enemy and the society against men, Lord. I declare that men really matter to God, that they are designed for a purpose, that there are specific things that you have put inside of them for them to release to their families, Lord. So, Father, today we say that men really do matter, God. Lord, today we pray for children who are growing up without a father in the home. Lord, I pray that you will raise up men of God willing and ready to step in, Lord, and that you would equip grandparents even to do the same thing, Lord. I pray, I declare that there's no more room for divorce and infidelity in marriages, Lord, in the body of Christ. I pray for unity and purity in the mind and the hearts to lead that lead to physical and emotional fidelity, Lord. I pray for single mothers, Lord. I pray that you will provide for them. I pray that you will give them security. I pray that you will give them a sense of self-worth. Father, I pray against the feeling of inadequacy, Lord. Let them, Lord, feel supported by you, Father. Let us also declare that there will not be, listen to this, there will not be any more children in our churches born out of wedlock in Jesus' name. We declare that in the hearts of our children, marriage will always precede sexual intimacy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's pray for the next round, the next list. Are you guys alive? Angry and hopeful. Angry and hopeful. This section again, right here. We're going to pray for better communication between parents and their children. That there will be this sense of clarity and understanding between them. Right? The children will not say, you know, oh, my parents don't understand me. And then that, you know, parents don't will not say, you know, well, they never come to me. They never talk to me. Okay? We're going to pray for better communication between parents and children. This section right here, we're going to pray for new strategies for parents on how to break down the barriers that technology has created between them and their children. And I also wanted you to pray for the spirit of deception that has taken over our children, especially teenagers. They're not very truthful. We need to come against that. This section right here, we're going to pray for wisdom for parents on how to deal with busyness. Sometimes we're just too busy to hear one another, too busy to sit down and have dinner together. We're going to pray for parents to have wisdom on how to deal with busyness. Busyness in their work, also busyness in the school. The schools have them longer than we do at home. Sad. Here, right here, this section, we're going to pray for the restoration and reconciliation in families, because any relationship is going to have hardships. And in our ability to know how to handle those things, there is longevity. So we're going to pray for the restoration, especially relationships between kids and parents. Okay, we're going to pray for that. So you got it? All right. And we're going to pray, we're going to declare that there is, we're going to pray for blended families. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. We're going to pray for blended families. The scripture that God gave me for blended families is that God will restore the hearts of the parents to the children and the children to the parents. So that regardless of the season they find themselves in, they have that relationship completely intact. All right? All right. You guys ready to pray? Angry and hopeful? All right. So Father, today, come on, let's just lift our voices. I pray for better communication, Lord, between parents and children. For clarity and fresh understanding, Lord, between them and their kids and their kids and their parents, Lord. Father, I pray that you would open their eyes, open the eyes of our children to see that we are not against them, that we are for them, God. That we are not against them, that we are for them, God. Help them to see it, Father. I pray for new strategies for parents, Lord, to break down the barriers that technology has created between us and our children, Lord. I pray that the tablet will not take over the family dinner. That a cell phone would not take over a family dinner, Lord. We break it off in Jesus' name. We pray for wisdom for parents, Lord, as they're busy, as they're trying to provide for their family, Lord, as children are trying to get involved in sports. Help us to slow down, God. Help us to slow down, Lord. I pray for reconciliation on the family, Lord, that we would have a heart to forgive, that we would have eyes to see the best, a mouth to speak the best, Lord. I pray for blended families right now, Lord, for wisdom for parents on how to navigate each stage of their children's life from this point forward, Lord, and for children to have the mind of Christ as they figure out their new reality. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Angry and hopeful, round three, last one. We're going to stand this section. We're going to stand up for life. I believe that abortion will be abolished in my generation. This section right here, we're going to proclaim that our schools and communities are drug-free zones. Drug addictions, alcoholism, vaping cannot take over our homes and our children. No more. We're going to stand here, this section, we're going to stand in favor of marriage between a man and a woman. As God intended it and He created it to be, it will remain in the hearts of our generation. This section right here, we're going to declare that God has defined family and gender, and that the enemy has no right to redefine it or to twist it around. It belongs to God. It was His idea. He cannot have it. And here we're going to pray, we're going to declare that there is fruition in the womb of married couples. Yeah. Barrenness will not be a thing in the body of Christ. We're going to inherit righteousness for sure. Right? Many children as our father Abraham, right? All right. You guys ready? We're going to pray. Remember, you're hopeful and you're angry. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we stand against abortion, Lord. We declare that we are a pro-life nation in Jesus' name. We also proclaim that our schools and our communities are drug-free zones. There's not going to be any more access to drugs and alcohol and vaping to our kids. We sever the head of the devil in Jesus' name. You cannot have our children. We stand in favor of marriage between a man and a woman, Lord, as you created it. It is pure. It is beautiful. The enemy cannot have it. Society cannot twist it. Father, we declare that God has defined family and gender. Lord, the world and its rulers do not have the authority to redefine anyone's family and anyone's gender in Jesus' name. We declare, God, that there will be fruition in the body of Christ and married couples, Lord. Barrenness has no place in the house of the saints. The righteous will inherit righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let it be so, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. If any of these points spoke to you, maybe personally, or maybe even people in your family, your kids, your grandkids, just come to the front. And I want to finish singing a blessing over your families and your children and your children's children. The winning strategy of the church in the last days will be to reunify families to the presence of God.